I wanted to follow up on last week before I get to this week. Last week, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Marina. One person was listening. One scripture that I did not bring was from 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. And in it, Paul is signing off, and he signs off with the Trinity. And he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Baptism in the Holy Spirit. We get to be friends with God through the Holy Spirit. The word fellowship there is koinonia, and it contains not just a communal picture, people together, but there's a friendship aspect to it that's available to us. And so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the agape love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a delight that we get to know Him as a friend. He is Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. He is awesome. In an overused word way, like he is better than any awesome word that we could come up with, and he's more fearsome than that, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit today, was how big he is. I saw a quote as I was going through some. Just some old notes I'd made. And this is from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was the Prince of Preachers, they called him. He was in London in the 1800s and was an incredible guy. He would have hundreds of people at the altar crying and weeping and seeking God's forgiveness. But he said, "A godless world is a lawless world. Anarchy comes in when the fear of God goes out." Anarchy comes in when the fear of God goes out. Have you ever lived through a time that was less fearful of God? To fear God is not like... there's two kinds of fear, essentially, I think. One that chases you away, makes you want to run away, and another that makes you want to run and fall on your face at His feet. And it's that fear that our God draws us to. Just as I was going through the week, and my time is quickly dwindling because everything else that's happened today. You never know what's going to happen when you come to church. You know, it's always different. I draw it out, and it has nothing to do with how I want it to be. But we'll talk about repentance. But I wanted to talk about just a word that I read this week. It's a word by that was received by a gal in Australia. Her name is Lana Vosser, V-A-W-S-E-R. I have a real burden on my heart about the prophetic words that have been spoken specifically in North America over the last few years. And a disappointment in a lack of accountability in those words. And so I want to remain open to the prophetic word, the prophetic utterance, but I've heard so many that are just dead wrong by trusted prophets. And so, you know, where do I look? Well, I look to him, of course. But when I read this word, I sent a text to a friend who lives down there, Adam Thompson. You know Adam, he's one of the two guys from Australia that come and preach to us. We've had conferences with them, I think, 5 times now. They wrote the Divinity Code together. Do you know the dream interpretation kind of Bible? It's an amazing thing. Anyway, these guys are good friends now. And so I wrote just a little text to him, and I said, I noticed that Lana Vassar is from your neck of the woods. What do you think? And he got back to me immediately and said, she is trusted in the Lord. She is one of my favorites. Now, if you know Adam, that's no small praise. He's a prophet himself. He speaks well in the Lord, and he has great respect for her. So, that preamble, I want to read this to you. This is just part of a bigger message. I'm not going to read the whole message to you. You can look it up online if you want. Lana Vassar, and it's called The Church Will Tremble Again. Just that makes me want to. And there's all kinds of things about the fear of the Lord in it, and how the fear of the Lord is missing from the church these days. Not just missing in the world so that anarchy can run loose, but it's missing from his church as well. We have built a familiarity with God that is unbiblical. It's too far to the mushy gushy kind of God stuff, and he still remains a God of justice. He remains a God that must deal with issues. And we talk about him like he's a dog or something, you know. Like, I don't want to say that, you know, but just like, oh, come, and oh, let's have fun with you, and let's party together. And just his holy angels, when they show up, the most of the times when we see it in the Bible, his angels show up and everybody falls on their face. Like, not because they've been trained to do that, but because they fear for their lives because of the presence of a holy angel of God. Now that's just his emissaries. That is not God himself. When God shows up in power and glory, you're going to thank God we're on the second floor so you can bury yourself one level down. He is amazing. He is amazing, and we treat him so haphazardly. Anyway, the church that he's coming back for, and I do believe he's coming back in the not-too-distant future. I don't mean like in 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 years. I think it'll be just a little longer, but not a whole bunch longer. And he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, right? And I think that's where the baptism of fire is going to come in, because it takes heat to get rid of wrinkles, right? Iron out those wrinkles. Well, she says as part of her word, that nothing is hidden from him. Nothing we do remains a secret. And we must give an account. I just made an announcement about you guys. Well, I talked about somebody getting married in 2 weeks. Is that still true? Are you still getting along? 6th of September, that's 2 weeks. Yeah. September's really close. Anyway, that's Mike and Alina. Let me start again. Nothing is hidden from him. We're talking about God. Nothing we do remains a secret, and we must give an account. But we have our beautiful Jesus, who is our high priest and able to sympathize with our weaknesses. So we keep faith and comfort in that place that he has in every respect been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. In this new era, in the restoration of the fear of the Lord, the uncovering is going to be threefold. There will be a purifying, this is number one, there will be a purifying and exposing in the hearts of impure motives. Like, that's what we were talking about this morning. You know, sins that you don't even recognize that you're committing, it comes from motives. And you like, we don't even think about our motives most of the time. But he's going to deal with impure motives, areas of sin, and areas that we were not recognized by the believer. I'm bringing this, but did you hear the word this morning? Did you pay attention to God speaking to us? It's exactly what I was going to bring, and I don't share this with anybody other than the Lord when I'm preparing. So it's all him. He can get the glory for it. The Lord will call forth repentance. And in that place, there will be those who will hold to the faith that Jesus is our high priest and understands that we have walked through. They will walk in the fear of God and embrace the fire of his spirit to purge. Number two, there will then be an exposing of sin that has been intentional. So there's kind of this unintentional side that God's going to woo us to repentance for. And then there's this intentional and the sin of rebellion. The Holy Spirit has been convicting and drawing his people and leaders into the place of repentance and holiness. And there has been a refusal to yield to him and his ways. In this area, there will be quite severe dealings of the Lord. When this happens, what the body of Christ must remember is that even when the Lord deals in severity and his tone changes, his love does not change. And that we must remember when we see the dealings of God. So when his tone changes from loving to chastening, and it says in Hebrews that he chastens those he loves. When the tone changes to chastening, we must remember that his love does not change. I thought that was a beautiful way of putting it. And then the third thing is, there is going to be an exposing of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's from Matthew 7:15. Broken trust will come as some find that they put their trust in those they thought were walking with the Lord and weren't. The Holy Spirit will heal those hearts who were affected by this uncovering. Coupled with the uncovering that will take place will be the healing of the Holy Spirit for those whose hearts are and were affected by the sin, the wolves, and the rebellion, in that those that they were associated with and were walked in. Unexpected uncoverings are going to take place in this new era. The hand of the Lord will bring this to purify, uproot, and align his church to carry the greater glory. The fruit of the dealings of the Lord in these areas are going to restore the fear of the Lord to the church. It will indeed cause the church to tremble again at the holiness of God and the severity of sin in the eyes of the Lord. It will bring the church to the place of repentance and awe and wonder of who he is, his majesty and glory. The burning fire of conviction will fall and increase in and upon many hearts to give all that they have to him, so Jesus receives the reward that he deserves. Ooh. If you want more, it's on. You can get it off the internet. But Lana Vassar, the church will tremble again. So, pretty quiet in here all of a sudden. We as a church, and I don't mean us here specifically, but generally. The church in North America, the Western church, has taken our relationship with him all too lightly. And we have forgotten who we're dealing with because of his mercy. He extends his mercy to us. He has covered us. He has allowed us, because of his great love, to turn things of our own accord, as his Holy Spirit wooed us. But we haven't been listening, or we haven't been obeying. Part of that word was the sin of rebellion, where some people have just said, no, I'm not going to do what I feel like I'm being called to do. And that will be uncovered, and in the not-too-distant future. I think this is coming upon us, and I think that this is the wonderful, glorious thing that I felt like he was up to something wonderful, and this hit my heart that this could be it, that when he shows up to bring the fear of God back to his church, that will send shockwaves through the earth. Because the general society has looked at us like there's no difference between us and them. We've tried to be relevant to the people of our society to the detriment of our relationship with God. We've become more like the world than we have like the holy people. And that's you can term that as mixture. You know, we live some holy and some worldly. And God's coming to deal with that mixture. He wants a holy bride. He wants a bride that wants him and him alone. So you're hearing this. And as a result of that, you're accountable. I kind of hate to preach these kind of messages, you know. But I love them, Lord. I don't want them to. But it's important that you understand what's going to be happening. And you're going to have to have eyes to see what he's doing. Even then. We know it's coming, but is this it? Is that it? You know, it's always interesting to try and discern what God's doing. So anyway, repentance. You know that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized. We talked about baptism, and we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but we didn't talk about repentance, what specifically it is, and what it is not, more importantly. Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when the people that day heard that, the conviction of the truth of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection hit them, and there was a mass repentance. 3,000 came to God that day. Hearing the words of, of what they had actually done. Amazing thing. It carries on in Acts 2:37 and says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" What a promise. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit are the package that we get when we come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think that that package, having that whole package, gives us the ability to have discernment unlike the world in these times. If we walk in those three things, then the veil has been removed. For there is a veil of deception that comes over mankind until they receive the Spirit of truth. Remember last week we talked about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth, and how that is the antidote to, this is my opinion, the antidote to the father of lies being the prince of the power of the air. So the father of lies is out there, and he has this stuff going out in the airwaves. You may have seen it on your TVs or computers or whatever, but it's all through the airwaves because he's the prince of the power of the air. And we need the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of truth as the antidote to see through all of that stuff, to be able to tell the difference between what is right and true and what is not right and true. To be able to grasp what it is that God is saying in the moment, and to discard the things that the enemy is saying at the moment. And the enemy is using devices that we have trusted in the past. I grew up trusting the news. Walter Cronkite was the next thing to the voice of God. He was just a newsreader, but when he said something, you believed him. And like I've said before, my brother is a professional broadcaster, newsreader, news reporter, and I don't even believe him sometimes now. And I didn't when he was a kid either, but to be fair. But I really do not trust everything that comes in to me these days. My filter is no, and then sometimes the Holy Spirit lets something through that filter, you know? Because they have proven themselves to be untrustworthy. And science, like they want to treat science like it's the be all and end all. Like we are the most brilliant form of man that has ever existed. That arrogance has been around for years in science. And I don't know if you remember or not, but proven science at the time in the 50s was that in order to deal with head lice and things like that, they would spray you with DDT. DDT, it's a deadly cancer-causing poison. And they would spray it around like it was the some kind of wonderful cologne or perfume. That was the proven science at the time. And I'll tell you for certain that some of the stuff that they say today is proven science. Science has agreed. In just a few years, they're going to say, well, maybe we were a little hasty with that, but now we know the truth. Right? But they won't be any further ahead. Because God is the truth. And anytime they try to assume arrogantly that they are the truth, they're going to be sadly lacking. I've told this before, but I'll just make it really short. There's a joke that goes, and this is a joke. The scientists were so sure that they were superior that they challenged God one day and said, "We can make man just like you did, so why do we need you?" And so God says, "Okay, let's see." And so they agree to meet one day, and on this field they're standing, and God says, "Okay, I've shown what I can do, but you go first for this thing." And so the scientists, they take out their test tubes, and they scoop up just a little bit of earth, and God says, no, wait a minute. You start with your own earth. We in our arrogance forget that God made it all. He made it all. They can't make anything that he hasn't already done or blessed. All good things come from the Father. Okay, so what is repentance? Thank you for asking. Repentance, when it's used in the New Testament, is a word called metanoia. Metanoia means to undergo change of mind or attitude and behavior. It means to turn around 180 degrees and go the other way. Right? To repent is to turn around and go the other way. You're going the wrong way. You need to rethink. That's what my mom used to say. I'd say, "Mom, I'm going to go outside and play right now." And she says, "You got another think coming." Because I hadn't done my chores. So I had to think about doing my chores first. You got to think another way. Don't look at your kids when I'm talking about chores, Rich. That's not a brand new idea. God's ways are not our ways. They are 180 degrees opposite to the way we would normally think without his intervention. It says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His thoughts are different. I heard somebody one time describe repent as to, like to move to the penthouse of thoughts, you know? Repent, you know, raise your thoughts, get them up higher, you know, get them up to the penthouse. But you can use that if you want. It's not biblical, but it might help. Jesus confirmed that the way of God's Spirit and Word is opposite to the way of man's ways, rather. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see that, you know, blessed are the opposites of what the world would say are blessed. And I want to just look at a couple of things. The world's way to get rich, right? The world would tell you to hoard and save and scrimp and budget. Jesus' way is give and it shall be given to you. They're just opposites. The way of the kingdom is opposite the way of the world. Jesus, the way of the world to get on the top of things, to get to the top, you got to rule over others, the world would say. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 11, the greatest shall be your servant. The way to get to the top is at the bottom. It's the opposite. Did you hear Stefan talk about that this morning? No, who was it that talked? No, it was you that talked. Bruce, yeah, upside down. Sorry, I forgot it was you for a minute. But I got it. God's ways are the right ways. What we have is an upside down world, and we're going to be put right. It's not like we're being put upside down. We're being put right way up. To get noticed, the world says, blow your own horn. Let it, you know, you got to tell your story. Jesus' way in Mark 10, 44 says, humble yourself, and he will lift you up. The world says the way to protect yourself is to hate your enemies. God says in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44, to love your enemies. Can it get more opposite than God's ways? God's ways are totally different than the way we would normally think. And you've got to be in that friendship with the Holy Spirit to not allow the predominance of your soul to rule your life. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? If you're run by your emotions, you will not be run by the Spirit of God. If you run by your will, you will not be ruled by the Spirit of God. If you run by your mind in its unregenerate state, you will not be led by the Holy Spirit. But God gave us a way, and we talked about that, to build up the inner man, to allow the Spirit to become the Arnold Schwarzenegger of of the spirit realm. And that's by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues builds up the inner man. And so as we build up the inner man, our spirit, enlivened by the Holy Spirit, starts to allow us to see things, hear things, discern things, and live our lives the way he wants us to. For we can make decisions that take us into that worldly way of thinking as well. Therefore, God granted us repentance. Now, understand that I believe fully in hyper grace, if you would. I believe that every sin that you committed, past, present, and are contemplating for the future, every one of them was forgiven on the cross. Every single one. It's not an issue for God anymore in the relationship between you and him. But sin causes a problem in us. And I think God gave us repentance as a gift to us to clear it again. Did you ever look at one of those science experiments where you got a beaker full of water, pure water, it's just gorgeous. And they take a little bit of black dye and they just put one little drop in it. Well, the whole thing, you can still see through it, but it's taken on a tint. It's not that pure water anymore. And that's the kind of thing that sin does to us. And as we choose, because we're no longer under the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of the law, we are under grace. So we are no longer our beings aren't compelled to sin like they were before we were saved. We must choose to sin. But every time we do, we get a little bit of that black dye in our being. Repentance allows us to have it clear again. Because the problem is on our end, it's not on his end. He's dealt with sin in our lives. When we accepted the gift that Jesus gave to us, he dealt with that. So, repentance means we must turn from our ways and begin to seek God's ways. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." Repentance is the first command of the gospel. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," in Matthew 3, 2. Jesus said, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' The apostles before the cross said, 'And they went out and preached that man should repent.' Apostles after the cross said, 'Repent, and let each of you be baptized.' God himself said in Acts 17, 30, 'God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent.' And all Christians at all times say that, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." So, repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction, a change of heart, a change of thought. There are two kinds of repentance. There is a false repentance, the word says, and the word, the Greek word is metamelomai. 2 Corinthians 7:10 calls this worldly sorrow. It produces death. It's when one feels sorry for himself because of the consequences of sin in his life. But he is not sorry for the cause of that sin. The cause is rejection of Christ's lordship in his life. You know, when Judas, it says he repented of betraying Jesus, the word metalomai is used. So it's not a godly sorrow, it's a worldly sorrow that he was feeling. I'm caught in this thing. My hand's in the cookie jar. I got 30 pieces of silver. And so it wasn't true repentance that leads to life. It was repentance that leads to death, a sorrow that leads to death. True repentance metanoia is the Greek word. We did that a minute ago. This is a change of mind, attitude, and behavior towards sin. It involves choosing God's way instead of man's own way. True repentance produces godly sorrow for sins. And I have scriptures for all of this if you're ever interested. Confession of sin, forsaking of sin, and hatred of sin. An example of true repentance is in the story of the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son who went and spent wantonly all of his dad's inheritance, and then he had repentance. He turned the other way, saw that he was wrong, went back to apologize, to make it right, and to live his life properly. There's a fruit of repentance there. So there's two different paths to true repentance. One is godly sorrow, and 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret." That's godly sorrow, a repentance, a changing of mind without regret. God chastens and allows trouble in our lives to bring us to that repentance. And the second one is the goodness of God leads us to true repentance. And from Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" God's mercy in the face of our sin can break down our hardness and lead us to repentance. It's an amazing thing. We talked about this morning breaking up the ground. Our hearts can become hard as we look away from what God wants us to do and we want to go our own way. There's a crustiness that builds on our heart. And repentance allows the plow to get into that place, to reveal the earth underneath, the real, true, soft heart, loving heart that God put in us. Repentance is the tool that God uses to make us right with him. He's okay with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has to deal with sin always, and he's talking about repentance for people that don't yet know him. They will receive that repentance. But us, we get that relationship back. I don't know about you, but when the one time that I did sin as I became a Christian, I started to wonder if my prayers were being heard. I started to wonder if God still loved me. I started to treat people just a little differently, because I felt differently. But when I repented of that one sin, just one, I felt clean again. I felt wonderful. I could treat people with the heart of God. And I knew that my prayers would be heard. And what a wonderful place that is, to know that you're the beloved of the Most High. Let me read through just a couple of things really quickly, and then I'll bring Ron back up here for a minute. And you were here and you had something good to say, but we'll see what you got to say in a minute. Here's just some insights for you. The preaching of God's word produces repentance. The Holy Spirit is needed to produce the conviction of sin that leads to repentance. Conviction is not repentance. Some come under conviction but do not repent. Acts 24, verse 24 will tell you that. Repentance is an opportunity and a privilege offered by the grace of God. God desires for all men to come to repentance. It is open to all. It is man's responsibility to choose to respond to the opportunity and repent of by his own free will. True repentance calls for fruit or restitution. There should be fruit of repentance. Your life should be changed. People should be able to see the difference in your life. If we neglect to repent, we are storing up wrath against ourselves in the day of judgment. Repentance is not a one-time event preceding our conversion to Christ. Repentance is a fundamental principle, a way of life. A believer repents day by day, changing his own mind to agree with God's way. What a gift he gives us. He's amazing. Pastor Ron, would you come up here and share with us what God has shared with you? I so appreciate what you do, Ron.
So, good message. I think we've all heard something here today that should change us. Again, as Pastor Randy was speaking, and I think the emphasis for me was on truth. And the Word of God says that truth will set us free. And I think it's good to keep in mind as we talk about repentance. You know, a lot of us, we think about the Ten Commandments and all those kind of things, maybe things that God does bring to our mind. But Pastor Randy mentioned that, you know, to discern, that's what we want to do, is discern what is it that God is doing in my heart. And with that, as he spoke about our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions. For me, I think quite often, when I find myself stressed, worried, and then in my own thinking, I get myself in confusion, I come to that place of repenting because I recognize that as self-strength. And that's the bottom line. And that's what God has always been dealing with his people since the beginning. Are you going to do this in your own self-strength? Are you going to trust me? And that's where God wants to bring us to, that we can trust him. So, Father, I just ask for forgiveness where I've been in self-strength, trying to do it in my own strength, because I know, again, I can't do it. I make a mess of it. So, Father, it's coming to a place of trusting you. With that, a bit of a testimony that we have seen here in our fellowship. I think you've all met Ron Schimpf. He's been part of our fellowship, and for the last, I guess, about the time of COVID starting, four months anyway, he's been in hospice. 3 years ago, close to three years ago, he came to our fellowship, and he was pretty down, and he'd been dealing with cancer, and just going through a lot of stuff, and just trying to find peace in all of that. So we have seen, in a process over the 3 years, he was a part of Pastor Bob and Cheryl's house fellowship, and so over the 3 years, we just saw him just more and more come to a place of just life and joy, because he started to recognize himself, the self-strength that he was in, and so God was just working in his heart. And Bob and I we've seen him a couple times. We went and visited him about a week ago. And his health is failing. And we walk in, though, and he's smiling, and he's got joy. And in the natural, it doesn't look like he has much time left. I mean, we continue. Yes. Yeah, as Pastor said, he was given 6 months to live when he first came here, and that was 3 years ago. So I do have a recording, because he wanted to pass a message on to the church, and even with that, I mean, God is sovereign, and he's preparing himself. He's ready to go, and we continue to pray. God could still heal, you know, and if God doesn't. Wow, I mean, I'm a little bit envious. So just hang on a sec, I'm going to prepare this here. hear anything. Isn't that the way it always works? I probably have the volume down.
Part of the church, although I still am a part of the church in my heart. Jesus Christ, our Lord, I'm asking Jesus Christ, our Lord.
This stuff always happens, right?
I'm just in area code is EOD.
Okay, got it.
Hello, Cloverdale Church. This is Ron, usually seated at the back of the congregation. I just want to say that I really have enjoyed being a part of the church, although I still am a part of the church in my heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, I'm asking that... I'm sorry, I just don't know what to contribute here other than I have a great love for the church and hope that you people remember me, the congregation, and in Jesus we strive together to be with our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So, yeah, it can be a little bit envious, eh? He's ready to go, and he's in joy. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. And, Lord, let that same attitude be in our hearts, Father. Father, that one day, each of us, Lord, will be with you. For those that don't really know that, this is the time for you to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if there's anyone here today in our service here, I just encourage you to maybe come up after the service and we can say a prayer with you and you could give your heart to the Lord. For those that are listening, if there's some that are listening now that haven't given their lives to Jesus with that hope that knowing you are going to go into eternity and be with the Lord, we just invite you to talk with someone or even if on your own, you can just come to the Lord and just, as Pastor has said, we repent of our sins. We determine that we're going to turn around and we're going to go in another direction. So, Father, we just thank you for Ron. Just bless him this day, Lord. Father, even today, Lord, that he would just know even just more joy in his heart, Lord. Father, that he would be a testimony even to the ones that are there, his nurses. And Father, he even knows that there's a bigger purpose in all his time that he's spending there. We when we go to see him, he actually feels at home. He feels like he has everything he needs. That's because he has the joy of the Lord in his heart. So Father, just bless him this day. And Father, for us, Lord, we just ask you continue to speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Show us, Father, maybe the things that do still separate us from you or from just knowing the peace and joy of our salvation. Father, we just thank you this day. We thank you, Lord. Cause us to have a grateful heart, Father. And even this day, Lord God, that whatever the rest of the day holds for each of us, that we would think upon you. And Father, I believe that for each person here, that today it's not a day of chance. Whatever our day holds when we go meet people, I don't believe it's by chance. But Father, you say that you prepare our steps. So Father, I just pray that... Every encounter we have today, that we would not miss a visitation from you. And you have told us, Father, you've said, go and make disciples of the nations. So, Father, I just pray that that would be in our hearts, recognizing that we cannot do it in self-strength, but it's by you, it's by your Spirit. So bless you, God's people, and go in peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.